Our sermon text comes from the book of Galatians, chapter 6, and verse 14. While I'll consider a couple of other verses surrounding this central verse, I want to read this verse only that we may get an import of its power and importance in the preaching of the word. So now, give your attention once again to the reading of God's holy word, Galatians 6, verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Amen. May God bless the reading of his word, and may God bless the preaching of it now. Well, friends, before you come to the supper, you must remember what it signifies. It signifies that you have absolutely no right standing before God in yourself. It signifies you have nothing to boast of before God. You have nothing to boast of before God, but the cross is what this sacrament signifies. That you're boasting, or your glory could never, friends, never be in your own righteousness if you have come to observe the sacrament correctly. That your glory instead is in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. I have to wonder, though, how many of you have lost, or maybe never had, this central importance of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ? How many of you have lost the awe that you have once had for the cross? How many of you have started to boast and glory in many other things? Maybe you're learning. Maybe how much you know of doctrine. How much you could boast even in things like your confession of faith. Are those the things that you are called to boast in? No, my boast, friends, is entirely in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Have you been drifting away from that truth? Have you stopped boasting in the cross? Have you stopped glorying in the cross? Friends, there's a terrible, terrible spiritual condition that so many Christians get into, where they no longer boast in what is primary, the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Talk to Christians all the time, especially as they have walked with the Lord for some time, and they sometimes they drift away from this central exhortation. And that ends up causing all sorts of spiritual maladies. Self-righteousness, the disgusting thing that it is. It causes you to lose your assurance of salvation, for you don't boast in the cross. It causes you to lose the power of the gospel. It causes you to now think that you're making it to heaven on your own, and that it's my works, and how that would lead you to despair. You must reclaim this morning the first place that the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ is meant to have. For this table here is not for any souls who do not glory in the cross. It's not for you. Don't come if you don't glory in the cross. You must see by faith, friends, that the proclamation of Christ's death in the supper is a proclamation of the glory of the cross for sinners. How blessed you are, friends, when you glory in the cross in the sacrament. Not glorying in your own righteousness, for it's as filthy rags. Not glorying in the world, for you see it as crucified on the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. But instead, in awe and in worship, you behold the cross of Christ in the sacrament, and you find your glory in a crucified Savior for sinners. Your hopes are upon, and they must be upon, the truth of the cross and what it signifies. So before you come to the table, friend, glory as Paul gloried. Say to your soul, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. To aid you in it, we'll divide our sermon into three exhortations. First is to understand the cross. Second is to glory in the cross. And third is to die on the cross. First, you must understand the cross. Because otherwise, you wouldn't even understand why you would need to glory in it alone. Friends, let's consider a little context for this text. You know, the apostle's troubles are underneath this text, which tells you something about his aim here. Paul, you know, suffered greatly for the cross. Consider verse 12. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. The apostle is saying it would have been far easier for him to preach circumcision than the cross. Why is that? Because the cross is an offense. The cross is scandalous to the self-righteous. It is easier to preach to sinners any other message than the cross. Consider that the Galatians would rather be circumcised than glory in the cross. They would rather have a portion of their flesh cut off than glory in Christ crucified. Is that not something? Is that not something to consider? That's how scandalous the cross is to the self-righteous. They will seethe against it. And to the so-called wise of this world, the cross is folly. They will mock you for it. That's always been the case. In 1 Corinthians 1:22, Paul said, the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. They don't want the cross. They want signs and wisdom. No different today. But what did Paul resolve to do? He dug in and he said, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block and unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Oh, the apostle gloried only in one thing. It wasn't himself. He gloried in Christ crucified. But what of you? What of you, friends? Is the cross your boast? Is the cross your glory? Too many, especially in congregations like yours and mine, too many, when they hear preaching on the cross, they say, that is milk. That is milk. Preacher, do you not know that we need to be on meat by now? Oh, what a terrible condition you have, friends, if that's you today. What a terrible condition if that is you. That is the deceitfulness of sin at work in you. You have lost the gospel glory that you once possessed. The cross is not milk, friends. Perhaps it's milk and meat. It is easy to grasp for our children, but also an infinitely deep meditation that staggers the mind and glorifies God in the highest. So let's know the same cross, or understand the same cross that Paul understood. Let's know the cross that Paul gloried in, that you would glory in it as well every day of your life. First, consider that the cross belongs to someone. Who does it belong to? It is the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot disassociate the cross from him. To break apart also the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't mean to break apart Christ like he's in parts, but to break apart that title will give great depth to the cross. First, it is the Lord's cross. It's Jehovah's cross. Is that not a staggering thing? It is the cross of my Lord. It is the cross of my sovereign. It is the cross of my sovereign whose mercy moved him to be incarnated as a man, to die and shed his blood. What sovereign would ever do such a thing for me? Is that not something to glory in, friends? That the cross is Jehovah's cross. His cross for a sinner who deserves hell. Is that not something to boast in today? Then it's the cross of Jesus, my beloved. His love and compassion led him to lay down his life for me on that cross. It's the cross of my beloved Jesus. It is the cross of Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Savior, anointed beyond measure by the Spirit. That's whose cross it is, the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. That phrase is packed with such great meaning. If we would only meditate on it, friends. And because of its tight association with the person and work of Jesus Christ, to glory in the cross does not rob glory from Christ, but instead to glory in the cross is to glory in Christ. And when you think of the cross, of course, you most keenly are made aware of his sufferings, the agony he experienced, the cruelty of that cross. You remember the cross as an instrument of death and torture, but never forget what was much worse on the cross, the almighty blast of God's wrath on our Savior for our sin. We remember that 22nd Psalm and the agony of our Lord. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? I am a worm and not a man. When you glory in the cross, you remember those words. But you can focus on the suffering of Christ and forget the reason for it. Because for Christ, to suffer was not an end in itself. Rather, it was his offering up of himself as a sacrifice to God. Here am I, in effect, he might say words such as these. Here am I on my cross, the lamb without spot. Thy people are sinners, O God. Take me in their stead. Is that not something for you to glory in today? Have you forgotten these things? Ephesians 5:2, walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. When you glory in the cross, you remember that Christ has loved me and has given himself for me as an offering and sacrifice to God. What was he sacrificed for? For my sins. For my sins. All of my sins placed on the cross. On my Lord. And he gave himself as an offering for our sins. He said, that text says, a sweet-smelling savor. His sacrifice was pleasing to God because he was perfect, the spotless Lamb of God. I glory in that, friends. I glory in that, friends, because God accepted him, and so I am saved. He did it for me in love. And God loved his sacrifice, and so I am saved forever. Do such thoughts have first place in your heart? From this word, friends, let the sacrament remind you of such things when you come to it. And Christ's offering on the cross is what the Bible calls a propitiation. That is the making of peace between God and sinners who have faith in Jesus Christ. The cross of Christ is where God's wrath for sin was averted to become favor to us. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Do you see love all throughout the cross? 1 John 4:10. This is the love of God. Added to last night's sermon on the infinite love of Jesus Christ. The love of God and the love of Christ are found on the cross. He made his own Son a propitiation for our sins by the Son laying down his life in love to offer himself for us. Is that not something to glory in, friends? Friends, the cross is the only hope for the sinner. It's your only hope. It's my only hope. It was Paul's only hope as well. For on the cross, Christ reconciled us to God once and for all. And by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Colossians 1:20. On the cross, all my sins, every single one, were swallowed up. When I glory in the cross, I say, hallelujah, I am forever reconciled to God. Praise God every day that there is a cross, because without the cross, there is no hope. You have none. How wonderful the cross is for sinners like us. What a glorious cross it is to know that all of your sins, no matter how heinous they are, were paid to the uttermost. For on that cross, and you heard it in our reading, were uttered the most glorious words that a sinner could hear. It is finished. So the cross preaches the totality of forgiveness. Believer, there is no sin. There is no sin of yours that Christ did not pay for on the cross. All my sins swallowed up forever. Is that not something to glory in? If that leaves you cold, you must need to be converted. That's all I can think. If that leaves you cold, you must glory in this, friends. This is a glorious truth. And when you're filled with despair over your sin, this is what you must glory in. You must glory in the cross. But there's more, friends, to this cross. The mystery of the incarnation is gloriously seen on it. On the cross, perfect humanity and divinity met together for our salvation. And we see the operations of Christ's two natures as they work sweetly together for our sake. The divine nature upholding the human nature offered in our place. All met together in the one Christ. On the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. To see Christ's offering and how powerful it is, look beyond a man who is simply nailed on a tree. Consider Hebrews 9:14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, which through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? From this text, we say that Christ's divine nature was the altar on which he was sacrificed. That's a profound thing, friends. That's a mysterious thing. The cross is something glorious. The cross physically arrested Christ's human nature, but his divine nature was his altar. Friends, if you're struggling to grasp that, that's okay, friends. Work at it. But the point is, the cross is something to glory in. It's not something that you ever outgrow. It is something that even the deepest mind will struggle to comprehend for all eternity. For on it, the Lord was greatly glorified. Is this cross only milk? No, it is also meat of the deepest sort. And the glory of the cross continues, friends, as we search the scriptures, for it is also a victorious cross. The glory of the cross is that Christ was not defeated on it, but he was victorious. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. He accomplished his perfect offering, and he was raised from the dead in triumph. He is not on the cross anymore, but on it he triumphed. On it he cried, "It is finished. Sin is paid for. Principalities and powers are spoiled." Is that not something to glory in? When you're fretting about the world powers that be, as so many of you probably are, if you would glory in the cross, you would see the triumph of Jesus Christ. And you would not be afraid of what the world can do to you. You would instead say, because the cross is my ever meditation daily, I see that my Savior has triumphed. And nothing is going to stand in his way. And I will not fear the world, and I will not fear men. You know, as the cross is a victorious cross, I always think how terrible it is that the papists love to portray him as defeated on the cross. You know, the papacy hates Christ in his triumph. Have you ever seen how they portray him? Like a tiny Christ on a crushed and in Mary's lap, or as a baby, but hardly ever a Christ in power. But the true gospel says Christ was not defeated. He triumphed on the cross. What a powerful thing it is for us to remember. He has not only forgiven us, but has spoiled principalities and powers in triumph on the cross. And the church will advance in power and in confidence. All power given to him in heaven and on earth because of the cross. When we glory in the cross, we glory in Christ triumphant. When we glory in the cross, we see the church advance and the gates of hell never to prevail. When we glory in the cross, our souls are set at ease in a turbulent world. Oh, friends, on that cross is the love of God, the justice of God, the power of God, the wisdom of God, and the mercy of God, all in one tremendous embrace. It is the message that sinners like ourselves really need to hear. Never tire, beloved, of hearing about the cross. Never think you have outgrown it. You're in great spiritual danger if you do. If the learned apostle who had even seen the glories of heaven, if the learned apostle never tired of boasting in the cross, what of you? Remember that Paul, when you think about him boasting in the cross here, you remember that Paul once boasted what? In his righteousness as a Pharisee. Do you remember that? He called himself Pharisee of Pharisees. Righteousness as the law, perfect, he said, spotless. But now, here, after being converted, the man would only boast in the cross. Just as Paul, never tire of glorying in the cross. In the brief time of understanding the cross, I hope that the cross has been rekindled in your heart as your boast and glory. But now I want us to focus in our second heading, more particularly our need to glory in the cross, having understood it. Let me read the verse again. "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, I've been already going back and forth here, but the word glory in the original means boast. He will not boast in anything else. In effect, I will not make anything else my glory. I must revel in the cross of Christ, and may God forbid me from doing anything else. Isn't this a wonderful prayer to pray? God forbid me that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Constrain me, O Lord, from glorifying in anything else. Do you pray as that? Could you pray as that? God forbid I should boast but in the cross of Christ. You remember what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 2:2. For I determined not to know anything among you save what? Jesus Christ and him crucified. Christ crucified was the very center of Paul's spiritual life. He counted everything else as dung. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Philippians 3, verses 8 through 10. Friends, when you glory in the cross, you see that you have no righteousness of your own, that you have nothing, but what you do have is you have Christ's righteousness. And that is something better by far. What a thing to boast in the cross then. You boast that the Lord is my righteousness and that I have a perfect righteousness and I don't look at myself. Because if I boast in myself, friends, there are two ways you're going to go. You're going to become deluded and self-righteous, or you are going to start to despair all the time because you just don't measure up. You need to make Paul's calculation your own, friends. He would lose all else. When you glory in the cross, you say, my own righteousness is as dung to me. All my hopes are in the Lord. Oh, if you struggle with assurance. Friend, it is because you no longer glory in the cross. If you struggle with assurance, beloved, will you glory in the cross? Will you glory in the cross today? Oh, and you'd see then that it's not you're standing before God in your own righteousness, but it is Christ's perfect righteousness that is ever set before you when you glory in the cross. And so you are assured that you're saved because I am looking to the cross for my assurance and not inwardly, but looking out of myself to the cross. And the sacrament that is set before you is a tremendous aid to glorying in the cross alone. When the bread is broken and the wine is poured, you will see the glory of the cross if you will receive it by faith. You will see Christ crucified for me, the sinner. When you sip from the cup and you eat of the bread, you must glory in the cross. God will not meet any who do not boast in the cross. If you don't boast in the cross, God is not going to be meeting with you today. Boast in the cross, friends. Beloved, just as a practical application as well, if you glory in nothing else but the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, you will be tremendously blessed. Just is the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, so I thought about that. And it is the cross of the church, right? Our, not just of an individual. So think of this as a congregation yourself, as a congregation. There is nothing else for this congregation to boast in. Friends, you must not glory in your denomination. You must not glory in your heritage. You must not glory in your numbers. You must not glory in your conversions. You must not glory in your minister or your elders. You must only glory in the cross. For your families here, you must not glory in your wealth. You must not glory in how many children you have. You must not glory in how well-mannered they are. You must not glory in your house. You must not glory in your education. You must only glory in the cross. For you as individuals, you must not glory in your learning. You must not glory in your work. You must not glory in your estate. You must not glory in your heritage. You must only glory in the cross. If you do, friends, all of your trials and tribulations as well will be put right. Your career is stalled. No matter. I glory in the cross. Your business did not make it. No matter. I glory in the cross. Your friends and family seem to have abandoned you and no longer seem to love you. No matter. My glory is in the cross. Your ministry does not seem to bear fruit. No matter. I glory in the cross. Your sins seem to drag you into the pit of despair. No matter. I glory in the cross. Because I look ever to the cross and not to myself, I will be kept in perfect peace. You know, there are a lot of things that are sinful to boast in. To boast of your own works is sinful. To boast of your righteousness is sinful. To boast of your own labor is sinful. But to boast in the cross, that is a righteous thing. That is a righteous thing. For it glorifies God in the highest. You know, I was just thinking, sometimes you'll notice people, especially people without many means, you'll be in a gathering or a fellowship where one person is boasting of their wealth or boasting of their job and the perks of it, boasting in all the wonderful ways their children can do this, that, and the other. And sometimes we feel a little taken back because I just don't seem to have any of those things. I've got nothing to compare myself to. Well, if you're ever in that situation, friends, and you feel like these people are boasting of these worldly things, and maybe you feel bad. Well, first, you shouldn't. But second, say, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's my boast, and that's my glory. And don't you have something great to glory in? All vainglorious boasting is nothing compared to the boast that you possess. And if you did glory in the cross, an implication would be, how could you ever keep silent about the cross? Are you a secret Christian? Do those closest to you know of your faith? If not, it is very unlikely that you glory in the cross. It's unlikely that you boast in the cross. Do those around you know that you are a Christian? Do those around you then who have seen that you're a Christian, do they know that your righteousness is from Jesus Christ and not yourself? What do they know of your boast and your glory? Not enough for them to know you're a Christian, but they must know that you have nothing but the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So many friends look on Christian neighbors and think that these are people that simply live a better life than me. But friends, that is only because Christians are not boasting in the cross. If you would boast in the cross, they would know the gospel. Friends, you must be as the Samaritan woman who went into her city to tell all of Christ. Come, see a man which told me all things I ever did. Is not this the Christ? If you boast in the cross, oh, how you would tell others of the cross and how you would tell others of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because those who glory in the cross really cannot shut themselves up. They cannot. They cannot keep themselves quiet about it. They cannot stay quiet about Christ crucified. Friends, do you want a great revival of religion? It will not happen until we all glory in the cross. That's the means through which revival is going to come. a great glorying in the cross in the churches, because it is a glory in the gospel. Friends, as you pray for revival, pray that more and more will be glorying in the cross, and that as you glory in the cross, and as the church glories in the cross, that others in this world will start glorying in the cross by God's help. And then a great revival might break out. Well, as you glory in the cross, you will find it easy to embrace our final heading, die on the cross. Of course, I don't mean this in a suicidal sort of way, but instead you are to count yourself dead to the world. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Keeping the cross before him reminded the apostle to live for Christ and not the world. Glorying in the cross puts to death your love for the world. To glory in the cross is to be glad the world was crucified on that cross to you. To glory in the cross is to be glad you have been crucified to the world on the cross. To glory in the cross is a great remedy for worldliness. Boys and girls, if you struggle with loving the world too much, maybe it's games, maybe it's things like movies or television shows, glory in the cross. The same goes for all of us as well, the adults. Whether it is money or work or lust or sinful relationships, the love of the world, the cure is to glory in the cross and to realize that you have been crucified on it. Do you really desire to have the world crucified, beloved? Let me just start there. Do you even desire to be crucified to the world? Is that your desire? I pray it would be your desire. Make it your desire, friends. If it is your desire, just how much do you desire it? Ask yourself, as you see the body and blood of our Savior held forth before you, ask yourself this one question, especially young people. Would the world ever do for me? Would the world ever do for me what is portrayed of Christ in that sacrament? Who would ever do something like this for you? The world certainly won't. The world will pass you by on your deathbed. The world is not going to care. All of those things that you thought that you would pursue that would bring you happiness, your money, your entertainments, the prestige of the world, all of that is going to pass you by on your deathbed. But what you're seeing before us, a portrayal of Christ crucified, is that Christ would never leave you or forsake you, and that he loved you unto the end. Friends, why do you love the world so much? And why do you love your Savior so little? One of the answers is because you do not glory in the cross. For that, remember the other great autobiographical verse of Paul's from Galatians 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Crucified with Christ, the cross is once again central to Paul. He lives as one crucified with Christ. He lives as one dead to sin and the world, but alive to God in Christ. His holiness and his good works are connected to the cross, not to himself. Between Galatians 2:20 and Galatians 6:14, you taste Paul's manner of living and suffering, and it was always in the shadow of the cross. Oh, how little this world will become to you as you survey the glories of the cross. What is this world? What is this world and its enticements to sin in view of the glory of Christ crucified for sinners? And all of you who glory in the cross, our text has a blessing in verse 16. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. You walk according to the rule of the cross, you will have peace and mercy. And that is what you will receive from the sacrament now. God forbid, friends, God forbid that you and I would ever again glory in anything but the cross. Even in glory, friends, even in glory, you will praise the Lord for his cross. You will. For like Thomas, you will forever see those nail marks on your Savior. You will forever see the pierced side of your Savior. And you will forever remember in the presence of your Savior that the only reason that you stand in glory yourself is the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And you will glory in it eternally so. So when you come to the sacrament, see it as though the words, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. See it as though those words were inscribed upon it. By faith, come seeing Christ crucified for me, the sinner. Come seeing your boast and your glory. When you observe the sacrament by faith, you see Christ crucified and you see the glory of this cross. And the sacrament, of course, gives you strengthening grace. And you are going to need that grace to enable you to live as one dead to this world. So as we consider our text and how it is that the apostle says that he will not live for the world by the glory of the cross, you ask God to give you grace to enable you to live as though dead to the world as you partake of the sacrament. And if you struggle with worldliness, ask the Lord, beg the Lord to do so in the sacrament. Friends, the sacrament is a picture of the depth of the meaning of the cross, that all else is dung to me but Christ crucified. It will help you live a life glorying in the cross. To those who come to the sacrament, come glorying in the cross. Come saying, God forbid that I will ever again glory in anything else. Come saying, Lord, help me live my life in the shadow of the cross. Come saying, Lord, help me keep my eyes ever looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of the faith. I beg you, brethren, that these words would be the motto for your life. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. May God help us all. Amen. Please rise for prayer. O our Lord and our God, may each day bring to us a great meditation of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. What a tremendous thing to glory in. We confess, though, Lord, that we've often made our boast other things. That is our sin. Would you forgive us of it? Would you help us live our life day to day in view of the glory of the cross? May we find it to be our boast, and may you be glorified by that. We thank you for your word, and we ask that you would bless it and the preaching of it. For Christ's sake, we ask this in his name. Amen.